We are talking about creationism, but more than that, we're talking about how old is Mother Earth. I actually looked up my records, and 2009, I presented to you one on creation and evolution. And I thought rather than doubling up, I would like to talk to you a little bit about the age of Mother Earth. Now, I know it's rude to ask a lady, how old are you? But a lot of people would like to think that Earth, material Earth, just gradually come to be after so many millions of years. They talk about 80-something million years old and so on. And if the Bible is at all reliable, we can actually count up. We can either read backwards, like Luke 3. Luke 3 is different from Matthew 1. Luke 3 actually talks about the genealogy. Verse 23, Luke 3:23. Now Jesus began his ministry about 30 years of age, being, as supposed, the son of Joseph, and it actually traces all that down, and you can actually count. And there are 77 generations from Adam until Jesus' time. 77 generations. By the way, a generation is not the day when a person is born to the day when a person dies, but rather a person is born to the time when he gets married and has the first child. Now, tracing the line along Joseph's side, we have Matthew 1 through Mary's line, and Luke, that is from Abraham to David, and from David to the captivity, from the captivity to the time of Jesus. And so it's 14, 14, 14, altogether 42 generations. You say, well, how long is one generation? Nowadays, it's about maybe 28 to 30 years of age. If Bible is reliable, and in Genesis chapter 5, it talks about the tremendous age of the individuals that you say, oh, that can't be right. These people either don't know what a year is all about, or the year used to be a lot shorter than what it is today. Because it talks about, for example, Adam was 130, verse 3, when he begot a son in his own likeness and after his image and named him Seth and so on. And Seth got married and had his first child. And Enos, have you noticed they're getting younger, all these young upstarts? 90 years of age, and 70 when he got his first child. And Mahalaleel, 65, Jared, and so on, and Enoch. Now, when you say, are the Bible years the same as our years? How do I know that? Well, first of all, it's hard to imagine a man can live up to 900-something years, as in Genesis 5. But you say, well, look at most of us, we're getting on a bit, and no one's getting any younger except this one. She, even the youngest person's getting younger, aren't you? Older. Older all the time. We get older. Adam, 190. Seth, 912. 905. And so on. The patriarchs from Adam to Noah, with but a few exceptions, lived nearly 1,000 years. Since the days of Noah, the length of life had been tapering. We are tapering. Now, Moses, how long did he live for? 120. You get the 40 years. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years as a shepherd for his father-in-law, and 40 more years as a leader of Israel. Come on in. And so, if you look at these people, 962, 969. By the way, who's the oldest person who ever lived? No, he's the oldest person who ever died. That's a trick one, isn't it? Okay. The oldest person who ever lived was his daddy, wasn't it? Yeah, Enoch. He's still alive today. Yeah, that's why he's the oldest person who ever lived. Noah. And then suddenly, his boy, look at his boy, 600, 438, 440, 33, and then you have 200 something, Abraham, 175. And poor old David, at the age of 70, he was full of years. It doesn't pay to have too many wives, okay? Now, the measurement of time. Did you know the Bible says, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let them be for years, signs, seasons, days, and years. They have never changed. But you say, how do you know that? Well, God created these bodies to regulate time. Do you know the most accurate timepiece in the world? Well, you say, a day is how many hours? 24 hours. That's day and night. Day and night, okay. So you have your sun going around the earth, or the earth rotating its own axis. So it's not really quite right to say the sun goes around once, because it doesn't work that way. Okay? But a day, according to astronomers, is 24 hours, 56 minutes, 4.91 seconds. And it doesn't vary. You say, how do you know that? Well, what about a year? Well, we always talk about round figures, 365. Did you know how old was Enoch when he went to heaven? 365. You know how you can remember that? Enoch walked with God every day. 365. Isn't that a good one? Yeah. 365, he walked with God every single day. And God took him. You know, poor old Enoch's wife, she couldn't get married again because her husband was still alive. She was a religious widow. Husbands, where's your husband? Up there. Why don't you get married again? I can't. He's not dead. That's a bit sad, isn't it? Yeah. Astronomical year is, listen to this, 365, 48 minutes and 46 point something, something, something seconds. It's so accurate. Has time changed? No. Were the people in olden days dumb? No. They knew exactly how long. In fact, did you know, just for your interest, did you know that's why we have a leap year? You've got your 5 hours and 48 minutes and 46 seconds. So every so often we have to have one more day. So instead of 28 days in February, it's 29 days. Because you need to make that up. That's a quarter of a day, you see? That's not exactly a quarter of a day, but every so often you have to do that. What about the atomic clock? Well, it is very, very, very accurate. It doesn't gain or it doesn't lose 1 second in 400,000 years. Yet it's only the second most accurate clock in the universe. It's not the most accurate clock at all, because I believe God's timing is the most accurate one. Now, the pivotal point of the Jewish history is Exodus. Did you know that? And I'm reading from the SDA Bible Commentary, volume 1, page 195. The date of creation is not known. We know it's approximately 4,000 years, and Bishop so-and-so says it's 4,004 years in some Bibles. Well, he is not too far out. But the thing is this, Adventists have never claimed we know the exact year of creation. However, in spite of that, this is coming from the Bible Commentary. They placed it 3957 BC, which is close to 4,000 years BC. Now, when you add 4,000 plus 2,000, you have 6,000 years. Now, how good is that? Well, you have the Exodus. They put that as 2513 AM. The AM is the year since creation. Okay, which is 1445 BC. This is before Christ. By the way, even the BC part is not 100% accurate, because the AC and DC time did not begin until the disciples said, you know, it's been a long time since Jesus was born. Let me see. It must be 12 years since Jesus was born. They were not 100% sure. In fact, the SDA Bible Commentary and others say they are 3 or 4 years out. Okay, now, the AM, sorry about this, the AM is actually called Anno Mundi, which is year of the Lord, year of the world. Oh, okay, year of the world. And so you have, you have 2513 until then, and you have 1445, the birth of Jesus, which is, now I know it sounds, but this is a direct photo from the Bible SDA Commentary, and it's 2513 was the year of Exodus. Now, why am I telling you this? Because I believe Bible chronology is reliable up to 2 or 3 or 4 years. plus or minus. So I have confidence in that. So it's no good saying we don't know. We do know, and what's more, we know that is approximately how long it is until the Exodus. And inspired writing tells me 4,000 years to the time of Christ and 6,000 years since creation. Over and over again, I have read this not once, not twice, but in researching on this talk, I have seen it many times. And if Sister White is inspired, which I believe she is, then she is reliable. Well, how come then some people say that Earth is so many thousands of years old? Now I'm going to talk about something that you may not be aware of. Did you know a child could look very, very old? Wrinkly skin, bifocal lens, hearing aid. Did you know I wear hearing aids? Not all the time. When I'm only on Sabbath, I wear my hearing aids so I can hear what goes on. But the thing is this, the child could be 5 years old and looks to be 80 years old. It's called, I can't think of the name now. There's a disease that, progeria. That means a person ages 8 times the normal rate. Now, unfortunately, all of us, according to Garden of Eden standard, we are pretty old. Because basically, if we didn't sin, we would live for a long, long time. And even after sin, they lived to nearly 1,000 years. But scientists say the Earth is millions or billion years old. Now, I was talking about progeria. Now, if we get the doctor to look at a child and say, well, I don't know, my child is having arthritis, hearing problem, losing all her hair. Can you tell me what's wrong with her? And then the doctor says, well, she has progeria, which is an aging disease. Unfortunately, all of us, every single one of us in this room, have that because of sin. Now, I hate to think this, but I often brag, you know, I still scuba dive and I go ice skating and water skiing, but I am dying. That is a fact. By the way, someone confronted me today regarding dying, ye shall, this is 17. Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. The word die in the... who has a King James Bible? Yes, please read that in the margin. 2:17, in the margin, you shall surely die. Now, that is in the Hebrew language, 2:17, Genesis. Read in the margin.
Dying thou shalt
die. This morning I mentioned about a candle that's lit, it's a dying candle. A clock that's fully wound up is a dying clock. A child that is born, unfortunately, is a dying child. Okay, whether we like to believe it or not, that is actually in the Hebrew language. It is
you are dying. We are all dying. Now, earth looks old because when you make anything, scientifically speaking, it liberates a lot of heat. In fact, that is the theory of fusion. That is, two hydrogen joined together to make a helium atom, and that is fusion. Now, when you glue the two together, it liberates a lot of heat. By the way, the opposite is a splitting atom. Now, if you get an axe, and I say, well, are you any good at chopping wood? Yep. Here's a pea. I put that there. You swing your axe and you hit that. I want you to hit that and split it into two. It's hard. You may be very accurate, but you split that pea, that is little. So if I give you a great big beach ball, and I say, can you split that? No trouble. Boom. Uranium is one of the biggest atoms. 238. 238 times heavier than hydrogen. Big thing. And so they learn to split this thing because it's nice and big. And so billions of years old, when God made man. Now you listen to this, and you tell me if that's correct. Did he make a tiny little baby and say, hello little baby, I call you Adam? No way. He was a grown man. In fact, he got married the day he was made. It's hard to believe. He was a married guy first day. So he is a grown man. Now, when God made a tree, it was a great big mature tree. But you say, I've got a degree in botany, and I know this tree is to be about 1,000 years old, and you're wrong, dead wrong. And so the geologist looking at planet Earth and says that I know for a fact Earth is so many million years old, they are dead wrong because they haven't read the Bible. If they know that God made Adam a grown man, and according to the doctor says, look, I know, I've been trained and I've been a doctor so many years, I know he is at least 20 years old, and the doctor would be dead wrong because God made man with the appearance of age. And when planet Earth was made, it had the appearance of age. Get it? Now that's logical. It's logical. So are they wrong? In fact, they say when man goes to the moon, because it has so many million years old, there would be accumulation of moon dust. And the craft would sink into so many meters of dust and they would all be choked to death. Now, when man, incidentally, we just celebrated, how many years of 50 years of moon landing or whatever. But the thing is this, the camera was trained on the legs of the thing because they were more interested in anything else, whether the craft would land into 12 meters of dust and they would all be choked to death. Didn't happen. It did not happen. They base all that in what they call salinity of the sea. Now I'll tell you something. If you were, and I actually did that. I took a glass of water and I put one spoonful of salt into the water and I stirred it. And I had a stopwatch and I said, I wonder how long it's going to take. The first lot, 10 seconds. The second lot, not as it actually took a little bit longer, maybe 15 seconds. I don't have the record here with me, but I did try it. And it took longer and longer until it would not saturate. I mean, it was super saturated, and it wouldn't take on any more salt. And you can stir it for 22 minutes, 5 minutes, and the salt is still swirling around the bottom. It would not dissolve. Because now, with planet Earth, let's look at it this way. They say, ha, you know something? The first rain that came was around the flood time. It didn't flood before. I mean, it didn't rain before. But when the first rain started, it started dissolving the minerals and the salt, and it washes down to the sea. They say, well, look, you know what the assumption is? The sea had no salt whatsoever to start with. The other thing is they have forgotten the more salt we have. Imagine you get a whole lot of dirt and you mix a lot of salt in it. The first bucket of water you pour in dissolves most of it. The second bucket, not as much salt, because it's all been gone. Most of it's gone. And the third bucket, fourth bucket, they are saying, look, salinity clock is, the sea is increasing in salinity by so many percent each year. Therefore, we can calculate how long Earth has existed. That's dead wrong. You can see it, can't you? Yeah, you mix some salt with dirt and you pour first bucket in, chum, half of the salt's gone. Now, you can see the salinity doesn't work and fossils. Now, I don't want to talk too much about that, but radioactivity. They say uranium 238 is radioactive. And it gradually changes from uranium to lead. Now, Yvonne warned me, don't make it too complicated. Well, I'll tell you now. Uranium, let's say a block of uranium, after a long, long time, half the block becomes lead. BP206 from uranium 238 to 206, that's lead. How long does it take? They call it half life. That is, half of the time is 4.6 billion years. That's how long it takes for the lead. And they said, all we need to do is to take a hunk of uranium and find out how much lead there is, how much pure uranium there is. Then we can calculate how old the Earth is. There's only one thing wrong with that logic. They thought uranium starts pure 100%. And it deteriorates into lead. Therefore, we can calculate, because we know how much lead there is, we know how much uranium there is, therefore, Earth is so many years old. Dumb. Because they are saying uranium began as pure 100% uranium. That's wrong. Did you know you cannot buy pure gold? You get a hunk of gold and it stamps 99.9999 gold. And if you can buy a hunk of 100% gold, it can't be done. There is no such thing. So nothing begins with 100% pure. And to assume that uranium began as 100% pure and it's not mixed with lead or anything else. I have been to different mines at Port Augusta, and I saw they were refining things. And I said, what do you have? Oh, we refine aluminium. And what are the byproducts? Well, we get some silver, a little bit of gold, a little bit of copper, a little bit of this and that. In other words, all materials are slightly mixed together and they just refine until they get a very, very good grade aluminium. You can see it? And there is no such thing for them to suggest that uranium, because it's mixed up with lead, therefore it is so many years old. That is wrong. And what's more, I have seen, I have read in a book by Frank Marsh called, I don't have it here with me, I did bring it along though, I was reading it, they were saying that they can actually radioactive test it, and they said so many years old. Now, they actually tested a shellfish, and it's so many hundreds and thousands of years old, and it's still alive. Well, I mean, that would be a very fantastic thing for this shellfish to be alive after so many years old. Now, our planet, as I say, as the scientists say, that's moon dust, and it didn't happen because it happened at 1969, when they landed this craft. How do you like my PowerPoint, eh? You like that? Look, they landed on there and it didn't sink into the dust. No dust. That's right. And they actually walked on it and they left it may be a tiny little bit of moon dust, but nothing significant. Yeah? Sea salt actually the sea contains about 3.5% solid salt. Salinity of the ocean. It increases by so much each year. And it can be calculated on the assumption the sea started as fresh water. I mean, how can you do that? You can't just assume assumption that is the water was fresh to start with. The amount of salt available remains the same, the temperature remained the same, and the volume unchanged. That's all wrong. Very wrong. Okay. Stalactites. Now, this is the amazing thing about stalactites. They say, well, you look at this cave. And I've been to caves, and these things dangle down, and you can actually put a little marker on that, and you say, next year, it's grown by that much. Therefore, this whole column is so many years old. And they're wrong, because the calcium washed down by the rain to start with, there was a lot of it, and afterwards, there's not as much. And that same as it's all what they call uniformitarianism. And that's a big word for a Chinese guy. But that means everything works the same way. Now, they measure the growth of this stalactite. By the way, the tight is they have to hang on tight so they don't fall down. The might is they grow up so they might meet to the other one. Now, they say the rate is 5 mil per year. And it's possible to calculate the age. The problem is, there's a decreasing amount of mineral available just up the top there. The change of rainfall, the change of temperature, that changes the rate of growth. Simple as that. In fact, let me tell you something interesting. You go to the war memorial in the South Bank. You know that every year when they have, you know, the Anzac?
Yeah.
And I went down the steps. There's a copper handrail there. And inside, it's very, the air is very moist. From time to time, you get a drop of rain on and condensation on the copper handrail. And down the bottom, there is a tiny little stalactite growing on there. I mean, is it thousands of years old? No, that war memorial is only maybe 100 years old, if that. There's already a tiny little bit of a growth dangling from the bottom of the handrail. I've seen it myself, so I know. Last time I went there, I particularly got down my hands and knees to have a look. And unfortunately, I think someone must have cleaned it off. Anyway, in the beginning, God says, was it the beginning of the universe at 6,000 years ago? No. No, because when earth was made, according to Job 38, verse 7, I think it is, it says, the sons of God shouted for joy at the creation of planet Earth. Now, people, governments are spending millions of dollars to find out if there are other intelligent beings around other planets and so on. Well, we already know. All you have to do is read the Bible, and there are other intelligent beings, such as angels, and so on, and unfallen beings in other planets too. Was only the solar system created then? Now, let me tell you, I believe solar system was created around 6,000 years ago, but the rest of Milky Way and other galaxies may not be. There is a reason I believe it, because for light to travel from our nearest star, other than the sun is a star, is 4.5 light years away. So for light to travel to planet Earth, it takes 4.5 light years away. Now, did they see the lights on the fourth day or Wednesday of creation week? They did. That shows when God made planet Earth, there was this tremendous layer of clouds and dust and so on. They couldn't see the sun even. Good to see you guys. Sorry, you're a tiny little bit late. You're missing out on something. Anyway, hi. And so what is happening is, I believe on the third day or the fourth day when God made planet Earth, let's read that in verse 16, Genesis 1, 16. Then God made two great lights. I believe that. But I believe those were made prior to the planets. Okay? The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. I believe all that was made prior to planet Earth. Okay? Now, I don't believe I'm the only one. The eternal God cannot live in a material vacuum for millions and billions of years until just 6,000 years ago, and suddenly God decided to make the world and the universe. that is not true. I just want to read to you a statement from Mrs. White. In the creation of the earth, God was not indebted to pre-existing matter. Ministry of Healing 414. What it means is, at the beginning of the creation week, God did bring this solar system into existence. But prior to that, were there angels? Were there intelligent beings? Yes, there were intelligent beings, and so on and so on. Now, was there a universe when Earth was created? I told you, Job 38, verse 7. Angels rejoiced at the creation of planet Earth. So they must have been alive, they were made, and they actually said, hallelujah, praise the Lord, God made a new planet. We have a new baby in our system, and which he did do, okay? And so the entire earth, including all the other things, were made around that time. Now, if you have any questions, stop me, but here is the sun, and we couldn't fit it all in, but there is Mercury. There is, maybe that's Mercury, that's Venus, that's Earth, that's Mars, and all the others, okay? Now, I know that's Jupiter. No, I mean Saturn, and so on. So there must have been, these are the nine planets. They're not spaced in proportion to their distances, but maybe they were made in according to size, at least, you know? These are the things there. That would be Mercury. That's Venus. That's planet Earth there. Okay? Oh, it is big. The sun's very big. Yeah. Okay, Creation Week. It involved, I believe, involved only solar system. The rest of the universe looked on and rejoiced at the creation of Mother Earth. And why then can we see the stars? I believe the stars' lights have been shining along for a long, long time. As I say, the nearest star to our solar system is 4.5 light years away. And I mean, basically speaking, Adam and Eve shouldn't be able to see any light at all for a long, long time. But there are many light years, because they're many light years away. And this is why we keep the Sabbath, because we acknowledge that God made everything. Now, there's just one thing that bothers me a little bit, and I may as well tell you now. If Sabbath is very relevant to people on planet Earth, why on Earth would other planets and other systems want to keep the Sabbath and acknowledge God as Creator? There's only one solution to that. See if you can work it out, and you tell me. Why on earth would, say, if you were, I nearly said a Martian, but a Martian would belong to the solar system. But if you belong to another universe, way out there, would you keep the Sabbath when it has nothing to do with you? It has to do with everything to do with people living on planet Earth. By the way, I don't believe any of the other planets are inhabited by anything at all. It is like, shall I say, a balance for planet Earth only. Without them, in fact, I believe Pluto was discovered by mathematics. They say, according to our calculation, there should be one more blob here to keep that in balance. And they discovered Pluto. Yeah, he's no longer, he's too far away. What's more, it is so jolly cold, and it's same as other, like Mercury. You can't live on Mercury, you'd be vaporized in next to no time if you lived there, because you're so close to the sun. And the Earth, I believe, is the only viable planet in this solar system that's livable. Temperature-wise, oxygen-wise, everything else. So they're wasting their money going to the Mars, digging up to see if there are any living organisms there. They're wasting their time.
Isn't that a rather large assumption too? You're making?
It is, yep. It is.
There's no way to base it on, isn't it?
I know. But the thing is this, they have already tested the temperature of some of these. Did you know, even if you live at the nearest neighbor of us, that would be the moon, the midday at moon, the moon's temperature, moon's day is 28 days, Earth days for one day. Midday on the moon would be so hot, you can't bear it. Huh? And at nighttime, it's so freezing cold, you can't bear it. And I should have studied up a lot more and give you the exact temperature. So they always land the craft on the moon at twilight time, when it's not too hot, not too cold. Because if you stay there too long, boom, it'd be so hot, you can't stand it. Now, yes. Yeah.
God's law is eternal, but it doesn't mean that the Ten Commandments are eternal. It's the principle behind the Ten.
Yes, yes. Well, do you know, you're right, because we don't have to face things like thou shalt not steal. Why would you want to steal when you walk on streets of gold? Huh? Why would you want to dig up and say, well, look at this, golden street, I think I'll take a punk home. But the whole city's made of gold. Yeah. Yeah, now, yes, Paul. Yes,
and
yes.
And you didn't know that there is such a sin here. Lucifer sinned in heaven.
Yeah.
But the blueprint, it will be still there. The commandment will be
there. Yes. Yes. Now, let's just get this right. I'm glad you guys are wide awake. Come on.
So there's a reason for why he created it in 7 days. for his other creation, he would use the same principle and the principle of the Sabbath to remember the Creator.
I wonder, when God created other worlds, he did exactly the same. He used the 7 days as well. So it's relevant for them because God used the same mathematical creation. 6 days work, 1 day rest. Yes?
So the Sabbath thing, you know, for us is for worship. They're all created and they're going to worship too.
That's exactly.
So therefore, you know, the Sabbath will be worshipped.
Now, regarding Dr. Peter's question regarding, would we be facing the same Ten Commandments? He says,
it's not me who said it. It says in Peter's prophet that the principles of God's law were eternal.
Yeah.
But the actual Ten Commandments.
No, that's right. That's precisely it. Because God says, not one jot or one tittle will pass away until heaven and earth pass away. And I tell you what, a day will come when earth will melt with fervent heat and the Ten Commandments as such will be no more. God is not going to confront you, don't tell lies, don't murder, don't commit adultery. All that isn't there anymore. Because we have a different system and the basic principle is love. Love God and love your neighbor. That is the fulfilling of the Ten Commandments. They're going to be there eternally. Okay, but God spelt out all the Ten Commandments for our benefit. Yes? Yes.
How can you know who was the first day? Who was the seventh day?
Okay. I believe the rotation of the earth started then. It says the evening and the morning were the first day. That's why I believe the sun wasn't created on the third day or the fourth day. Fourth day. Because the sun was already there, but there was this terrific mist, and I am talking because I've been influenced by a book published by the Pacific Press, authored by Frank Marsh. And he says, well, you can't see it. It's there. The sun's there. That's why there's light there, physical light. Yeah, Isaiah 66, I know what you're talking about. Now, I can't say I know too much about that group. However, I don't believe God has made his obedience, his Ten Commandments, so difficult that you have to have a PhD degree or a theologian to understand it. I haven't studied into it. We Chinese people we grew up with a lunar calendar. In fact, the Chinese New Year is always run about the end of January, the beginning of February, but we still have this seven-day system, a one-week, seven-day system, and the Sabbath day is still on Saturday.
I just go back to you. I may correct me if I'm hearing wrong.
Yeah.
You're saying that the sun and the stars and moon weren't created during that seven-day week, that they were all...
No. That's not right. I believe God, when he said, let there be light, that was the beginning of the sun. Okay? And then the second day, but the sun and the moon were not seen, and the stars were not seen until the fourth day. Okay. I know. Yeah. No, you cannot have a circular system without a nucleus, and the sun's the big, the hub of it. All right. Well, let me just finish here by saying we believe the Sabbath is meaningful to us, but as you say, maybe God, in his wisdom, made the rest of the universe follow the same formula. By working 6 days, on the seventh day, he rested. And as a result, they would be meaningful to other beings in other worlds apart from us. Yes? Yes, yes. Well, I just want to tell you this. Light year is not a measurement of time. It is a measurement of distance. It's the distance of light traveling 1 year. By the way, I know some smart person is going to say this. Light travels at a speed that will cover this seven times around in 1 second. That is light. Let's do it again. Light will travel around planet Earth seven times in 1 second. Now, the smart aleck will say, I know, light doesn't travel in a circle. It goes in a straight line, which is true. But I'm talking about the distance, not the angle of it. Okay? For light to travel one solid year, it is actually a measurement of, light year is a measurement of distance. And for light to travel from our nearest star is 4.5 light years away. So, do I believe in multiple creation? Yes, I do. I believe that. Creation week did not involve heaven that God has dwelt in from eternity. The heavens of Genesis 1 and 2 probably refer to the planets and stars nearest to planet Earth. Indeed, the Earth, instead of being Christ's first creation, was most likely his last creation. Now, did I make this up? No. It came from SDA Bible 727 Fundamental. So I'm not all that smart, but I'm quoting to protect myself so you don't ring the conference and say, John Chan's gone cuckoo in the head. I haven't done so. Now here's another one from Bible Commentary. The stars, though created earlier, are here mentioned in passing by Moses, as much as he was discussing the planet luminaries in the heavens. Now, the SDA Bible commentary says they were created prior to our solar system's creation. Your choice today is trust God who told us through the Bible what is reliable. I believe the Bible is extremely reliable. I trust scientists, or you can trust the scientists and the Big Bang. By the way, the Big Bang, I have one major question is, they say everything comes at the beginning of a Big Bang. Now, my question is, can nothing explode? Did you hear that? Can nothing explode to create this Big Bang? Of course, nothing cannot explode to create anything. So instead of giving God the glory and honor of making us, they say the entire universe begins with nothing, and nothing cannot explode, according to my thinking. My authority is the Word of God, and I believe God made planet Earth and all that is associated. Jesus is my Creator and my Savior. Now, that is how I feel. Okay. Thank you. If you are desperate in need of a music CD, I think I may still have a few more here, but otherwise, if I run out, I run out. But I have a couple of these to give to my friends, and I thought they would be here, but I've got a couple of these Chinese-English ones. Now, that one's for you too. It's a bilingual one. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you once again for the clear word of God. Father, we believe in the Bible. We believe it is true. It is authoritative. And we can rely on the Bible to guide us regarding these things. Father, we want to thank you for making us, for saving us, and that one day you'll come again. Help us to trust in you, believe in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.